Can see your mouth moving, but I really can't hear you.
Okay.
So some IT guy is going to do something about that.
Have a try now.
Okay, speak up, speak again, if you would.
Okay, is that better?
Yes, it is. I can hear you now.
Is that too loud?
Okay, perfect.
No, no, not you. The person here in the room, is that too loud?
Say something again.
No, I'm asking you, is it too loud?
Is Vicky too loud?
Yeah, to you guys, when you hear her in here.
I don't think so, but I'm kind of hard of hearing, so.
Could you say one more thing so we can check the volume, please?
Sure. Can I, what do I, I'll just talk.
Is that okay?
Does that work?
Yeah.
Is that fine? Are you guys okay with that? Okay.
I hear like
a ting?
There's some.
It might be too loud, but that's okay.
Why did I have to turn it up? I could turn it down just a little bit.
That's okay. It's not.
Well, I can turn my volume down, I believe.
Vicky, it's not you. We got it.
Lynn, you want me to go down just a little bit?
It's fine.
I
know what to do if it starts screaming feedback. I think we're good.
So you figured out how to get the camera on, too. Was that where she went after the virtual camera?
We did learn that it's in the instructions, but we figured it out.
Yeah, well, I kind of that was the pearl that you get. You guys have put on my head while you're working. When you get a chair around right behind your face. I was trying to stay at you. Real quickly, you did your homework.
I did my homework, yeah.
The only other two things we need to check is one is I don't think it went. I think
somebody's paying attention to you, all your work.
They go in there and switch it back.
Thank you.
It turns the volume.
Yep.
So you may have to back turn volume. Because probably going to ask her. You can update it. Yeah. Don't forget you need to start.
She did that. Okay, so we're good.
I'm going to walk around and see if that other table or that other TV is on.
Okay.
If it's not, I'll turn it on. And then if you don't need me, I'm going to get out of your hair.
When we leave, we should turn those off.
Well, you'll turn the TV off. Those TVs you can shut off when you shut it off there. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk so loud.
No, I think all the technology is right.
Hey, Vicky.
Yes?
Are you up for... We have... Leah Taylor says it's okay for us to do everything except what requires voting. Are you up? Do you have the energy for that?
Oh, sure. I can... I'm fine.
Okay.
I just don't want to infect anybody else.
I get you. So I think we're... At 9 o'clock, Georgiana's going to call the meeting to order, and then we'll see what we got.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Good morning, everybody. I'm calling this meeting to order. I think we need to start with a roll call right off the bat. So will you do that?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm going to call the roll, and only people present in the room can say present, and then we move on to the next part of that.
Okay. All right.
All right. So we've got Ann Robin, not present. Susan Fowler, not present. Georgiana Schuster.
Present.
Kim Fisher, not present. And Vicki Nicewander, not present in the room.
Yeah, okay.
So we do not have a quorum, but we can go through the items in the board packet and discuss. And my favorite thing will be to discuss another time that we could meet during July, since the DD board is required by law to have a meeting in July. So I've got, so when we get to that part, I got a couple ideas.
So it looks like we're not going to have a meeting today because we don't have a quorum, but we will choose another date, and it's probably going to be next Wednesday would be the next date, the next Wednesday in the month anyhow.
Dr. Fisher is here.
Is
in
here.
The room. There are two dates that would be really easy to do, I think, from the perspective of getting the room and our habits, and that's July 24 and July 31 at 9. So the question really is, like, what are we most likely to have a quorum? And I can't, I mean, that's really on, that's up to y'all. So Mrs. Nicewander is on the Zoom, and we can have a discussion about that. I did send a text to Ann Robin, and we were hopeful that Susan Fowler would be on this Zoom as well, but I don't see her yet.
Okay.
Okay.
So is that something we should be discussing here and now, the dates for the meeting?
It would be really helpful to me because I have a whole bunch of other meetings I have to schedule, and this is the this is the highest priority of anything.
Okay.
So, I mean, just to know what you all are actually available for, since it's summer, I'm not going to take it for granted that you keep every Wednesday morning open.
Right.
Yeah.
So why don't we just go around to who is present and ask, are you available, Kim, for 7:24, the morning of 7:24?
How about both? Since
you do both of them?
This is about illness that might not be resolved by the 24th.
Okay.
So if you could ask about both.
Okay. So we'll start with you, Kim.
So I apologize for being late, everyone. I have union bargaining both Wednesdays, so I'm not available.
Hey.
Yeah, sorry.
Can we do something other than a Wednesday?
Now, we sure can, but the factors become very much more complicated, getting the room and also understanding people's availability. So we can... We all need to get out our calendars and kind of shoot off different options. So that's going to be a little bit trickier. If we have a quorum who can be present at one of those dates, we should probably do it.
Okay.
But to have, I think to get into much more detail, we might need to work this out outside of the meeting, especially since not everybody's here.
Well, I'll go around to who's here, which is Vicki and I. And
yeah.
Ask about availability. Vicki, do you have, are you still there, Vicki? Do you have a...
Yeah, I am here. I am available, completely available on the 31st, but I do have a conflict on the 24th, which is changeable. Doctor's appointment at 9 o'clock that morning, but I can delay that if necessary.
Okay. I'm available both times, so... I guess that really doesn't give us a, I guess the date that's most doable is the 24th, because Vicki can change her doctor appointment. I'm available. We don't know about Anne or Susan.
I mean, I think you've collected all the data we can possibly expect right now.
Okay.
And we'll just work on it after this.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Georgiana. I know this is like all a surprise.
Everything's a surprise,
okay.
Yeah. Do we need, what else do we need to go through today since this is not really a meeting?
Well, you can't approve the agenda, but you can go through the agenda. And
okay.
There are a whole bunch of information only items that might be of interest. And hello, everybody who's come all the way. We have coffee and water. And I think you all know, please sign in at that sign-in sheet. And folks in the Zoom are signing in the chat, indicating their agency affiliation. That was very helpful. So I think you can discuss a lot. Just no decisions today.
Okay.
And this, by the way, will make your meeting whenever we can have it really short.
Oh, okay. All right. So the third thing on our agenda is the approval of the agenda, which we could look at and approve or not.
No.
Yes? No, we cannot?
That's for voting.
Oh, we cannot because it's a... I'm sorry. Okay. We have looked at the schedules and updated timeline. No action necessary there. The acronyms and glossary, no action necessary there. Maybe we have some citizen input and public participation. Can we do that? Yeah? Is there any citizen input and public participation from anybody, either here in presently here or on Zoom? I guess not. Okay. And the next thing is chairperson's comments. I don't know if Vicki has something that she would like to say.
I don't. I just want to apologize for not being there, but couldn't be avoided. I guess my comment was that I noticed that the statewide system redesign is on the agenda, and I was actually in person at that meeting. Talking about what needs to change in the state to make life better for people with disabilities and make access to services more effective for people. And I know that there were no people from this group and from our people who are providers in the area. We're not there. And so I would at some point like to get some feedback from people about what they think would make the biggest difference for people. If you were thinking about systems change in Illinois, and maybe we can come back another time and discuss that and get feedback from all of you regarding what those big changes are. And I'm not talking about tweaking the system. I'm talking what needs to be done to really make it work well. I have a lot of ideas myself. I know you do too, but that's kind of where we are with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicki. I don't know whether or not Lynn has some comments for us.
I do.
Okay, let's hear Lynn.
Often I don't, but I do. And I see Dr. Fowler is present on the Zoom, so we'll ask her all the same questions in a few minutes about the schedule. I wanted to say, and Kim Bowdry may have to cover her ears, so cover your ears, but we had a great contract process this year. This is to the credit of Kim and Chris and other staff, and I mean, Kim led us through it, and then all of the agencies who got their pieces done in a timely fashion. This is probably the smoothest contract process I remember, so I wanted to thank everybody who's here and on the Zoom. And I mean, there may be a couple of exceptions, but you guys handled those very well. So just, you never know, right? So just like that was really wonderful. And I did, Vicki, I did include all these materials in the agenda on that statewide system redesign because I understand that you have a leadership role in that, and I thought this is kind of a nice, like, if we have officer elections and if you happen to be elected president for the next year, sort of in some ways like the chair's initiative. You know, we don't often have an opportunity to pick up that kind of leadership at the state level. So I wanted to thank you. We have, several of us have attended the subsequent meetings, but none of us were able to attend the in-person. So It is really interesting. I love the letter. We'll get to that part of the agenda. Anyway, I just wanted to say, like, there's a lot going on in Illinois. That's the most important thing. But there's a lot going on in Illinois for advocates. So it will be nice to hear from the self-advocates later in the season and from the people doing the work whenever they feel like telling us. And then I wanted also to spread the word about the vacancy because Georgiana Schuster is here out of kindness. She has agreed to continue in this role until a replacement is appointed. And I don't know if folks know about the vacancy. We've asked a couple people if they're interested, but board members tend to know more people who might be interested in this kind of board service. So I just wanted to encourage that. Also to encourage Help the Expo. That's on the agenda later. We can talk about that. And we're about to start my favorite part of our annual cycle is this planning time. So we've got some surveys ready to send out to board members maybe tomorrow just for your input on the planning documents as they are now. And it's really exciting to take input and see like what things can be improved or what needs to be like just start over. That's very exciting. I also am hopeful that we can cancel the August meeting, which is always tentative, and that is always listed as tentative because you might not be able to get this far in the process, but you did. But if we don't have the meeting, we'll have that much more time to focus on developing these planning materials for the fall. So that was another thing. I'm going to go to the county board meeting tomorrow night to give input that's in this packet. Just wanted to make sure that y'all are okay with that. It's just input on if they ever get more ARPA money back, which may not happen. It seems we have a lot of encouragement to do a particular thing or for the county to do a particular thing. So I wanted to support that. And also in the last week, I've just been reminded through a series of not connected events of our interconnectedness with the county. Like we really do need to treat the county like partners because we really rely on other departments very heavily for our operations. Anyway, that's all I've got. That's a lot. Okay.
That is a lot.
Can I ask a question? So you said we need to help the county do a particular thing. Is that something that you'll talk about tomorrow night?
It's just ideas that have come from the public to us, but also these are ideas that are not new, and I wanted to share them with the county. I have actually talked to a couple of people. I know that it's possible there will not be any more ARPA funding to reallocate, but this would be a direction that might fit a lot of needs that are assessed and understood. So, yeah, it's on the agenda. But I just wanted to say I'm going to go to the county board meeting tomorrow night and read it. So I need to stop talking now.
You'll represent us.
Yeah.
We cannot do any approval of anything right now, so the minutes will defer, and the vendor invoice list will defer to our next meeting. Staff reports are just there for information for people to read. And I don't know if we want to discuss the statewide system redesign. Does anyone have anything they want to say about that, or is it just something for our information? Maybe Vicki.
It is just provided for your information, but I think it's really important. This happens every once in a while in Illinois where there's a lot of momentum to do system redesign, and I had to get over my pessimism and say, all right, this time it might work. I mean, there's a lot of energy, right, Vicki? Like, this is a big deal.
It is a big deal, and I think the key to the success of this movement of sorts is to really get everybody behind it. I mean, everybody. Young parents, older parents, people with disabilities themselves, providers, everybody needs to be a part of this effort because it affects everybody. And so that's why I said it's really important for me to talk about what it is you all see as the biggest need for change, and so that we can start addressing that. And I'm not necessarily asking for solutions at this point, but your thoughts and ideas about how we can keep this conversation going and be a part of supporting this effort, because as we all know, Illinois is, I think we're 50th out of 50 states now, and the District of Columbia. So, yeah, it's not a great situation.
Yeah, I would agree. So we're not going to...
Oh, sorry.
You, go ahead.
Vicki, so this is Kim, Vicki. So I think I saw on the focus committees, it's like on page 71 of the packet. Starting on 70, there's different committees. So I looked at like the education one, and I thought I saw like younger parent participant as a potential need. Did I read that right? That y'all need a younger parent participant and a self advocate?
Yeah, I believe so. Yes.
Okay. So I guess one of the things I'm thinking about is, one, from an education perspective. Oh, thank you, Lynn. Lynn is putting it on the board. One of the things I'm thinking about is whether or not it would be beneficial for members to either write to school boards in the county about this project, or actually go to a school board meeting and in public comment talk about this program. Is that something the Engage group has talked about?
You know, the education committee has met only one time so far, and not many people were able to attend that single meeting. But what we did discuss is that we really need to bring more people on board in first of all, understanding the effort for systems change, but also
to build
support for this effort as well. So it can't just be the, you know, 75 people who were engaged in the conversation on that day in April. It has to be everybody in the state informed about what we're looking to do, because the only thing that's going to happen to make real change is for all of us to be working toward the same ends. So, you know, maybe having people on the committee certainly is important, but the bigger goal in my mind is to get people informed, engaged, and supportive of the effort in a much bigger way than those 75 who were on the call to begin or in the meeting or on Zoom that day.
Vicki, that's a great point. I'm wondering if there's something... What do y'all think, like, should we be doing community events where Engage is kind of talked about, like at the library?
I think we're going to probably have a series of Zoom meetings, but also some in-person stuff happening, and maybe in conjunction with conferences and that kind of thing. And, you know, we could do school board meetings, but one person from not that district coming into a school board meeting is not going to have necessarily a positive impact. We need to have people in that district who are interested in supporting the effort. But they have to be educated about what it is first.
Vicki, this is Kim again. I just have a follow-up question. You had, so thanks for that information. You had talked a little bit about some of your ideas about big systems change. Do you feel comfortable sharing some of those ideas at this time, or do you want to hold off?
There's a lot of possibilities here that I'd like to talk about, but I didn't put any time into thinking about presenting that at this meeting today. Other than the fact that I would like to get everyone else's ideas on it. So I'll pass for now.
Okay, sounds good.
We're probably not going to talk any more about the statewide system redesign, and we cannot do the election of board officers. The only thing, well...
You could discuss some of these items if you want to.
We could discuss draft budgets.
Is that, Leah Taylor, is that okay, even if it's something they can't... Even if you can't vote, can you discuss an item that's being going to be voted on someday?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I would lean towards no, because that's like starting to make a decision.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So when we have this next July meeting, whenever that is, and you said that someone else is online now and we
yes.
can ask them for
should
their...
We, should we do that?
Yes.
It's Dr. Fowler.
It's Dr. Fowler, yes. Dr. Fowler, we're wondering if you can make a meeting either on July 24th or July 31st. If you could, if you're available for either or both, please let us know.
Both,
okay. So right now,
we know that we can't have Dr. Fisher at either meeting. So we can, it seems like the 31st would be better. This is a, Susan, what we're doing is just that the statute requires the DE board to meet in July and hold elections. I think that if for some reason, so we've scheduled for July 31st, and if for some reason we are not able to hold a meeting, I think we would still be able to show that we intended and tried, and we could, you know, I could talk to the Attorney General if something came of that, that we did our best. So if that's okay, I'm sorry.
So if it comes down to that somebody cannot make the meeting, I can just go to bargaining later. So, yeah. So I'd prefer not to, but,
yeah.
You know, I can be a backup.
So that we have a quorum.
Right, so that you have a quorum.
Yeah.
So, and I potentially could join via Zoom. You know, everything is in normal. So, but
okay.
I know you can't have a quorum via Zoom.
So it sounds like July 31st is what we're going to try for. Okay. And we'll talk to Dr. Robin when we can.
I texted her.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Okay. So our next board meeting will be tentatively July 31st.
Thank you, everybody, for patience on this issue. I think if it were any other month, it wouldn't matter as much.
But it does.
But it matters. Just it's the only required meeting. So thank you. So anyway, are there other items we can discuss? Let's see.
I can see that we have draft budgets.
We can't do that.
And we can't do that. And we can't do the Memorandum of Understanding with United Way. We are going to start our planning process for the PY26. And so I don't know if we have any discussion on that or if we want to wait till we're all here on the 31st or even August meeting.
Well, there's a memo here that's really like, it's really highly optional. This is not it. Still in the budget stuff. The memo is putting together all of the current elements which will need to be updated. And this is another, it is required by law that you update the plan once a year, but that's very vague.
The plan annually?
It's very vague what the actual requirement is. The DD board has no requirement for a three-year plan at all. They just have to update something every year. So what we're doing here is there's a three-year plan. Oops, I'm still in the wrong thing. There's a three-year plan, and last month, I think, or May, y'all authorized continuing the three-year plan for one extra year so that it will align with the other health plans in this community, but just updating the objectives. So what I did was in one memo listed the current objectives the current goals, which won't change, and all of the objectives, which can absolutely change. And then after that, listed the current funding priorities and kind of the summary underneath each one for the programs that you're presently, that like just July 1, we started funding. So this is about like, does any of this need to be changed? And there are, you know, it could be a very long discussion. So what we've done, I put it all together in this memo just so that you have it in one place and you might have some discussion today. But I thought for more in-depth input from you all, it might be easier for you to have a survey that points to each of these and you can react or not react. Every question is optional, so you can not do it at all. Mm-hmm. But just because it's not always easy to think these things through together. And these are really important things. And then the final section is about the application process itself. And so we did add some questions into this one of the surveys we're going to send you about the process and the timing of the activities that you engage in to see if things should be changed in order for you to have more confidence when you're making funding decisions. Because every year it seems like it comes up very fast, and I think we want to do better with supporting the board in making decisions that y'all are comfortable with. So the questions are of that nature. So this memo is just kind of saying this is what we need to get done, hopefully before November or by November, get everything finalized so that we can set the application process in motion in December. These are maybe aspirational. But anyway, that's like, you don't have to do anything about it. You right. could, if you have the energy to discuss any of it today, you could, but we're going to be bothering you soon with surveys.
I think learning about this and looking at each priority separately is a process, and it's not to be done during a meeting. And so it's good for us to be aware of the process and to deal with it on our own time, but not during the meeting.
So one of the things I was, actually I just had a meeting with folks at Kelly and Kendall and Patty at DSC about self-advocacy and some of the work that they're doing there. So I know there weren't any... So there's no applications for self-advocacy this year. And what kind of hit me was like the statement from the disabled advocate in the packet that they'd really like to be able to go to advocacy events. Like this person specifically talked about Speak Up, Speak Out Summit and how they can't afford that. And I feel like that maybe kind of talking about self-advocacy as not just supporting advocacy groups like in town to be able to better understand how local government impacts their lives and how they can advocate. I think that aligns well with the engage. Like if we're going to really make sustained changes in this in community capacity, we're going to have to start listening to folks with lived experiences in our communities. Mm-hmm. So like for instance, ARPA funds, like what percentage of ARPA funds were actually focused on supporting people with IDD? what that would be a huge amount of money that was invested in the community. And I wonder what proportion was focused on supporting people with IDD.
Was intended for?
Just actually done.
Done.
Yeah. Maybe it was intended, but it was what was done. Yeah. From the county's perspective. I'm just speaking from the county perspective. I know the school district and other folks have had that. So I feel like, you know, really maybe tweaking this, or I don't know, maybe we need to talk more about it, about supporting advocacy, legislative advocacy, with folks in the community. And then I really like this idea of maybe a portion of this is actually sponsoring folks to go to conferences, go to the Arc of Illinois conference, be able to interact with folks at that conference, you know, pay for support, direct support providers to do that, to support them, conference fees. It's very expensive. So, yeah, I don't know.
You and the Mental Health Board did approve a contract which could be used for that. Oh. If people, that's the IDD Special Initiatives contract with the Regional Planning Commission, where people can request quite a bit of money for things like that. So I think the piece that you're talking about is somewhere between we have a contract, there's the potential to purchase things for people, and here we are hearing from people about things they want to have purchased for them. So this is the area we need to work on, right? Like, how do we get those people to get that money?
I think both, right? So like both, So both, right? So having that, being able to spend on that special initiative fund. But I could see advocacy groups being, you know, there's, you know, structure in an advocacy group. So there are some leaders, and part of the leadership of that group needs to be people who are able to, without going through a rigmarole, purchase going to a conference that is relevant to their needs. So, for instance, if we have a local advocacy group here, and they have, you know, a leadership, so, you know, there's a president or chair of the committee, vice chair, part of their role should be to be able to go to Speak Up, Speak Out, and fund it. And maybe I'm speaking out of ignorance, and folks, I already get that support. I don't know. Maybe.
No, I think you're right, but I actually think that contract is set up so that it can do that. Am I wrong?
The contract is set up. The people themselves would need to apply. I think what you're saying is, as a group, they should be able to say, we want to have five people go rather than five people applying for the funding. Individually.
There's no limit like that in the contract, is there? No,
that's the way the application was written. And the other thing that the application was written was that it's for people who are waiting on PUNS list without funding through the state. And so that also includes people enrolled in DDB-funded programs only. So it's not people with Medicaid waiver funding at this point. That's not the way it was written. So that excludes a lot of people. We could potentially do a contract amendment, but, you know, the agency has to be on board with that because that's going to increase, and I think the money is also going to go much, much quicker. I do know they've done a lot of advertising. Everyone who is enrolled in DDB-funded programs without waiver funding, and those that are waiting on PUNS have, if they're over the age of 18, have received a flyer for the program. Obviously, it's the 17th of July, so, you know, it's just now starting to get some traction, but they have done that outreach portion.
So what you're saying really does sound like the solution. This is something we need to kind of put a structure to and ask for in the PY26 applications. But just so you know, like, we learned the hard way that we can't be the fund for special requests like that. We tried it, and it was difficult because it was interrupted by COVID and material shortages, but we also got pretty negative feedback from our attorneys about doing it at all, that it should be done through an agency contract instead of through us as a governmental unit. So we would be looking for a similar application to the one in the DD Special Initiatives, but focused in the way that you guys are talking about, where it is open to groups. We can absolutely develop some structure like that and hope for an application. I was thinking like, oh, maybe we could do it right now.
Well, and I guess that's what I was thinking, that like this self-advocacy priority and how we write it could include potentially some language to support that. Like, I would love to learn more about what the attorney is saying, but like,
they say it's not allowed in the statute.
So funding someone to go and do advocacy, but the advocacy happens to be at a state conference, that is not defined as advocacy, apparently.
No, the problem is that the attorneys are saying that, and it's two, it was an independent attorney on the state's attorney's office, who are saying that if it's not explicit in the statute, you can't do it. So we were trying to do it, and then we learned it's not, you can't, direct assistance to a person is what you're talking about. Like, giving somebody a check to do a thing directly is not explicitly allowed in the statute. So we could change the statute. We could advocate for that. But it was, you know, kind of like, don't do this again.
And so part of, like, let's say an advocacy, sorry to belabor the point, I'm trying to better understand this. So if part of a self-advocacy program application that addresses this priority, if part of that program is to support, let's say, an advocacy group, a local advocacy group, they work on better understanding local government, talking to policymakers in the local area, and to increase community capacity for community living, right? And then part of that program is setting up, you know, a structure for a board, and part of the expectation of this, you know, or advocacy board or group is to have their leaders go to advocacy groups. So part of that program, there wouldn't be necessarily a program that we could support in that way. They would still think that that is direct funds, even though it's part of the program.
It's possible we could include this in our administrative costs and do it as non-employee training and pay for people to go. We can pay for you all to go to conferences. We host monthly workshops. So maybe we could beef up that line of our budget, but then we would have to develop a process through which people request it and it gets paid. So again, the most straightforward way would be through an agency contract where the agency is able to pay for things on behalf of individuals or groups. And that's what I thought we had, but is limited in certain ways, which could be amended through a contract amendment. But as Kim said, they've just got it up and running, so there may, you know, we may find that they don't have the dollars to do that. So meanwhile, I think it is good for us to create a structure like this within the priorities document to get closer to what you're saying. Yeah, and I can talk to lawyers again about doing it just directly through our administrative budget, because it does actually, it fits with the purposes of the DD board, like very clearly. So it would just, y'all would maybe have to let go of the idea of, like, you know, 92% of the funding is going into agency contracts. And if we used more of the total budget to directly support people going to conferences, that percentage would go down. So, you know, we sort of have to expect some consequences that we might need to be able to explain later.
So I guess let me just clarify. I don't necessarily want a decrease in funding to go to programs that agencies provide. What I'm saying is I would love for agencies to, as part of their program development, to potentially include as, yeah, right.
They've always been able to do that.
And so, yeah. Do we need to
program this?
Yeah, there are some programs that you've funded for many years through agencies who are present who have self-advocacy groups. They can absolutely put into their budgets or ask for a budget amendment to do it. Specific assistance to support people going to conferences. That's been true forever. I thought you were talking about something that was more independently directed by self-advocates. Okay, but well, I kind of want that too.
Yeah, right.
But no, the capacity to do that is already there, and it has been. And I think they do send people to conferences. I mean, we could ask.
Yeah. Can I get some feedback from agencies about how you do that? And if maybe I'm barking up a tree that's not needed. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. No, I think a couple things. So with Speak Up, Speak Out, that is something that we offer to our participants if they would like to attend every year, and we've gone for many years. It's my understanding that the Arc of Illinois has many scholarships for self-advocates to attend those events, and that the process for accessing that scholarship is very simple. And usually we, like, kind of send in everybody's registration since we're all going. And a lot of times it's, like, as simple as, like, checking a box, like, would you like a scholarship? And then they don't have to pay. And so I don't, in my experience and with the people that we've worked with, I don't think the cost of going to, like, Speak Up, Speak Out specifically has been a barrier for people. it's also something that, like, we have paid for, you know, sort of as part of our self-determination or our, like, Connect program. That's where, like, our self-advocacy group lives. And it's one of the sort of the stated kind of pieces of that program and grant. I think it gets a little tricky when we're doing the applications, just to kind of pop back to that a little bit, because you have to just choose one priority. And, like, for that program, for us specifically, like, every year I'm kind of like, which one do I choose? You know, there's, like, a family component to it. There's a, like, connections component to it. And there is also, like, a self-advocacy and leadership component to it. So I would guess that DSE is similar. I mean, I will let Patty speak to that as well. But I think a lot of those things do end up getting embedded in other programs just because the support that goes along with them fits very well with some of the other services that we're providing. You know, and if there was, like, other conferences that people were interested in going, I think the ARC actually has, like, a fund for that, or they have in the past. I think it's a little more difficult to access, but I know families can access it. Like, if there is other types of professional development or conferences or things that families would like to attend and that the financial aspect of it is a barrier, I think you can say, like, hey, I would like to go to this conference. Not necessarily an art conference, even, and they can pay for it. I think they'll eat. And again, it's been a while since I've checked, but in the past, they would even, I think, pay some of the travel costs, or, like, if you needed to stay in a hotel or something, they could, they would help cover the cost of that as well. Not to say that, like, we shouldn't also support that here, but there are some resources for it. I'll check again to just make sure that still exists in terms of the family, like, accessing programs outside of Speak Up, Speak Out, but I think it's a great point.
Yeah, just because through my research with advocates, like, across the state through Going Home Coalition, they've said that they actually cannot get to Speak Up, Speak Out or Going Home or the ARC of Illinois because of direct support provider support. I mean, it's not necessarily the cost of the conference, but it's the hotel and that kind of stuff. So, you're right, exactly. So, I mean, that's what I'm so glad to hear that, like, we're doing a much better job. Maybe we should be bragging a little bit more. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily start bragging quite yet, because the information that I just got is that Speak Up and Speak Out is going to be virtual only this year. So there will be no traveling to Springfield for people who are interested in doing that. I was very disappointed in that news. And the reason is because the Council on Developmental Disabilities has determined that they are not going to fund the consumer stipend program through the ARC until possibly next year, when they plan to bring back Speak Up and Speak Out as a hybrid event, so some in-person, some virtual participants. So I think that fund, I'm not sure when it ends, if it's what fiscal year the ARC is on, but anyway, it is going to be less available, if not completely unavailable.
So it'll be only Champaign County residents who can afford to go, if we're careful to budget money for things like that. But, like, becomes even more important. Vicki, thank you for that late breaking news. Like, that's terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible.
I just wanted to speak to it too, to echo what Becca was saying also. Just as a reminder, the IFS grant that you all fund, the two components of that are respite and advocacy. And there was funding built into that budget for people to attend conferences, and also the staff support needed to go with them, because that's necessary, but also to pay them to participate in some things if they do presentations, because they are the subject matter experts. They are the voice, and the staff that are with them are getting paid. So, I mean, we just felt like it was really important this time to kind of recognize that their time is valuable and their voice is valuable, and you know, wanting to focus on that. So I can see whether it's a kind of an expansion within that grant, or if it's a different request or something as you kind of look to prioritizing. But I do think that there is a lot happening here in Champaign County with Community Choices and DSC in the area of trying to do that. We also were very disappointed that the summit is going to be virtual. Last year we did a hybrid, and we've done, you know, we've done the virtual through COVID, and last year had several people attend, and we also rented space so that you know, a group could attend virtually together and got t-shirts and, you know, kind of made a big deal out of it. But it's definitely not the same as being able to network with peers from other parts of the state. So it's a big disappointment. And as you said, hopefully just a 1 year hiccup, but it's bigger than a hiccup. So anyway, I there is a focus, and I do feel like there's some prioritizing happening locally with the provider agencies that you all are funding. And we can kind of look at that over the next year and the next application cycle.
Thank you, Patty. I guess to your point and to Becca's point, like, are we spread too thin with the number of priorities? If you're, you know, does advocacy need to be its own priority if it's already embedded within, you know, we're advocating for lots of things. So is it okay if I ask the community? Okay. No, do I need to, is it okay if I ask that question to the audience?
The agencies.
Yeah, the agencies. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay.
Are we spread too thin?
Yeah, thank you.
The global answer is yes. Every agency is spread too thin. but, you know, we did create a position for this. That is, you know, at least 50% of his time is dedicated to the advocacy stuff. So that's a luxury that we did not have in the past. In the past, it used to kind of be a certain program would pick up the ball and kind of try to coordinate it, and staff positions would get in the way of that, you know, and the focus would be based on the talent of the person and the interest of the person. So having a dedicated position that has time for this has been incredibly valuable. And just to share a little bit, we did meet with Kim, but I mean, there are currently three advocacy groups going on right now under Kendall's purview, and they are going through the alliance training, and that's happening kind of a, you know, a different pace for each group as needed. And you know, there, it's also, you know, just kind of getting there's a lot of interest. And we, rather than having one large group, see value in, you know, them being able to kind of move freely between the groups based on whatever the topic or the issue is that they want to advocate for. So there's a lot of fluidity, I think, in how people will be participating. But the legislative piece and the, you know, statewide advocacy and that stuff is definitely things that he's very excited about and there seems to be interest for. So I see it growing. I see it being, you know, smaller scale, I think, than what you're, you know, kind of hoping that it morphs into, but I think that that will happen organically, like I said, either whether it's within the same, I mean, that one is kind of its own grant. I mean, we could separate respite and advocacy, but there is a significant dedication to that specifically this year. So.
Anybody else? Thank you, Patty. Anybody else have thoughts on, like, you know, this being a separate priority, and are we spread too thin?
Yeah, I think I would echo what Patty says as well. I mean, I think one of the things I've thought was, like, is there not a way that we could identify two priorities? Like,
have always preferred that you would create two programs.
Yeah.
Like, we've sort of asked for some of the programs to be smaller so that we could understand them more clearly.
Yeah.
That's sort of the reason for the current array of priorities. If that's not working for you all and that's not working for the board, we can certainly revisit that. There is a place where you can say that it applies to other priorities, and I believe we express that in the program summaries, but we can't, you know, include the total amount of that because we don't know how much of the piece of your program is just self-advocacy unless you apply for separate programs. So I guess, you know, where it says there's zero applications and $0 under the priority of self-advocacy, that's maybe the problem. And I can't really figure out a better way to express it, but like, I really appreciate this discussion because what used to be under that priority were family support networks who have kind of given up because they have a really hard time even submitting a single report. Like, just literally it's too hard for them. It creates problems within their membership. So we don't really have a way to easily fund support networks, family support networks anymore. So I'm kind of, so I think when we say zero applications, that's, we're signaling we got to figure something out in order to help family support networks thrive. But this is a different thing. It's even more important, and I'm really appreciating the conversation. So we'll have to look at the structure, because this isn't, it's not that the things are missing, it's just that our structure is not capturing it properly.
Yeah, oh, I mean, I also just, again, to sort of echo what Patty said, like, we did ask for a small increase in the staffing for that program this year, specifically so we could put additional, like, staff time and resources towards working on both our self-advocacy group as well as just, like, self-advocacy projects. And I think one of the things that we've found is that what our participants are often interested in terms of advocacy is not always legislative advocacy, but it is more like sort of daily life. Like, how do I live in this world today? Like, and how do I, you know, access healthcare? And how do I, you know, sort of help shift the mindsets of people in the world that I'm living with so that everything that I do is a little bit easier, just like my interactions with the world. And so I don't know. I don't want to speak for all self-advocates to say that that's what they're interested in, but with the group that consistently comes to us, I mean, that's been what they've wanted to do. I think, like, would love to sort of see how to engage the legislative piece as well. But just kind of to give you some insight into sort of what it looks like for us.
Great. I think, yeah, Mel, yeah.
I think the conversation got away from me, but I'm going to go back and stuff because I am a board member for the Illinois Respite Coalition. And so we all have meetings like you guys and stuff, and we always have extra money for someone to receive respite. And we have a voucher program for that Illinois Respite that someone could apply, an advocate could apply for that voucher, and they could go to special activities like this. And we just had a meeting in May, and we still had money before, so we were pushing it. So if you guys know anyone that's not receiving any services from the state of Illinois and needing that, we have that voucher program. We talked about our service being thin. We like to partner with a lot of that organization always says we have some money, and as long as you request it, most of the time they're work with you on how to get that voucher. I know it's not a lot, but if someone wants to go to speak out and stuff, and if there's a voucher they're qualifying, that could pay for other services that maybe they're not paying for, and that could meet that gap and stuff, and it will work for a lot of our consumers. That's all I'll say.
Great, thanks. Okay, I'll be quiet now. I hammered this, I think. Thank you. I appreciate the time, everyone, and all y'all's information. Thank you.
It seems like we've had a really good discussion about our priorities, and maybe that should go on, but we don't have enough people here to have it go on, but we'll probably bring it up again in our meetings and outside of our meetings also. I'm not sure if there's anything else that we need to discuss today. We one of the items is input to the county board, and we have a county board representative here. It says here in our packet that a memorandum directed to the county board offers community needs assessment support. Do you want to talk about that a little bit, Leah?
Where is that?
Well, it's on our agenda, and it's on page 2 of our agenda, and it is item F.
The memo's on page 106.
And the memo is on page 106.
Oh, that was the one that Lynn said that she was coming to the board tomorrow night to talk about.
That is it, yeah.
From a county board perspective, I can say that it's always a delight to have Ms. Canfield come and speak with us.
I'm going to read the letter out loud. Is that okay? I just... Like
you mean read now?
No, to the county board. Like, I don't know how delightful that is when you get public participation that's just reading, but I feel really strongly about this, and I appreciate, I got some input from people here. There was another person who was trying to provide input but ran out of time, but she is actually someone who I went to see MTD with years and years ago to talk about this issue, and nothing changed. So she was really motivated, just ran out of time. So yay, I'll see you tomorrow night with this, but I wanted you all to see it first. If anybody has a problem with me doing this, I will stay home tomorrow night.
Thank you for doing it, Lynn.
Yeah, I think you should go and speak up. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have some old business, the PY25 funded programs, and Lynn sent out the kind of a, I don't know, cheat sheet, I guess you'd call it, maybe a synopsis, a syllabus of these. And so we have that information available to us. The next thing on the under old business is evaluation capacity building project. Do we have someone to speak on that? We do.
We do.
Okay. Hi.
Happy hump day.
Put your mic on.
Happy hump day. I'm Jacinda. I'm from the Family Resiliency Center, and I have some colleagues on Zoom as well. We've been doing a lot of technical assistance with several of the community agencies, so that's been going well. That work is great. We did want to propose to you an idea that we had, just to get your insights and your willingness or lack thereof, for a training that we're thinking about having in the spring, where we would bring board members and agencies to come together to have a workshop on storytelling, thinking about how to get messaging across, what do each want to hear, what do they look for, what are they trying to communicate. And we thought that this would have multiple purposes. One would be enhancing the communication between board members and agencies, and another would be helping each other think about what their priorities are, what their interests are in hearing, and how that's communicated. So before we keep going down that lane of planning such an event, we thought it would be good to pitch the idea. And our idea was also that the board members of, let's say, the developmental disability board members would then talk with the mental health board agencies and vice versa, so there wasn't any impropriety in thinking about funding or things, but just to get a sense of what do funders and board members think, what do agencies think, what are they trying to communicate in terms of the work that they're doing, the outcomes that they're having, and so forth. So I'll pause there so that I can get any initial reflections and thoughts that you might have on that idea.
It sounds like something what we're doing this morning, mm-hmm. A little bit of it. I think it's a great idea, personally.
I like that idea. Thank you for considering it. I think it'd be very helpful for both all the groups involved.
Great. Mm-hmm. And you have the time to come. That's the big question mark, right?
So can you talk a little bit more about, thank you for that alert. So can you talk a little bit more about the time investment? I might have missed it if you said it, sorry.
No, I didn't say it, but so we were thinking about an hour and a half of a workshop type of, and it might have a little bit of homework in advance, not a ton, like reviewing something just so that you're coming in with some background information. But it would be really having it be a hands-on workshop of working together, talking with each other, learning best practices, but also enhancing this communication between both vested parties. So.
When? Like what day of the week? Have you thought that far in advance?
So, so we would seek input from agencies, from board members to see what timing would work. And we would have potentially two events, one with one group of individuals and another with the other individuals. And we could try to see what we can do to make sure that it would fit most people's schedules. But if everyone likes Friday meetings at 3:30 in the afternoon until 5, who else has meetings then? Right?
I do.
I know. So do I.
Yeah.
But okay.
No, but prefer not. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe would board staff be invited mm-hmm. as part of that conversation? Maybe I missed that.
Yeah, all who are invested in this process would have the potential to come. So.
We do some things with the group already.
Mm-hmm.
I think the idea is like including you all.
Yeah.
For some more. Yeah, yeah. We'll still do it.
We're about inclusivity. So if someone wants to exclude themselves, then they can do that. But we'll invite everybody, and then you can decide if you want to have fun with us and each other. So those are our big updates. We're working on some micro learnings and planning out some different types of trainings, including a virtual training that will utilize measured repositories and thinking about outcomes that would be agency specific so that they can learn about the repository, how to develop questions. And we're thinking about a couple of other ideas, some virtual, some micro learning, and some in person. So different types of formats that everyone who's been funded by the boards would have the opportunity to participate in. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The last thing that we're going to talk about today, I think, well, we have not the last thing, the second to the last thing, is the Disability Resource Expo update. There's a nice update, I guess you'd call it, in here, starting on page 113, and it looks like the Disability Expo is going to be in October 26th at Marketplace Mall. Our coordinators are the same as last year, and they have a couple of special attractions that they're planning, adaptive clothing fashion show and inclusive sports demonstrations. I don't know anything more about it. Maybe Lynn knows more about it. Do you know anything more about it than what's being presented to us right here?
I do, but she
doesn't. Kim is the expert.
I don't. The expo is planning is underway. Sponsorship, they're seeking. I thought my microphone went off, but I think the camera changed.
I just changed.
They're seeking sponsorship. We have a new, I don't think I'm telling you guys anything that's not written in the memo, but we have a new title sponsor, which featured sponsor. That's the word we use, which is Thrivent Financial. There's a lot of outreach. The expo coordinator, one of the expo coordinators, has been doing a lot of events, tabling at those events, handing out Save the Date and the expo books from last year to generate people to come through this year's expo. So
I was going to say, does anybody have any stories about good outcomes, you know, that, yes?
Yes.
Okay, Lynn does.
I wanted to say that these coordinators take this very seriously. They are always concerned about this expo needs to be better than the last one. I have a different perspective living in this fake post-COVID world. Like, we know it's not post-COVID, but we're pretending. So there are so many things that are different from 2019, and they still have this very high expectations. I'm encouraging them, look at this wonderful marketing strategy that we've kind of stumbled on, which is everybody else is having resource fairs and expos now, and we have Barb Bresner, who's super outgoing and wants to go sit at the table and tell everybody about expos. That's a huge marketing strategy that wasn't available to us a few years ago. So they're looking for something a little bit more like that they can promote through social media, that they can reach a broader audience, maybe new sponsors. And I just asked them, what if we ask people because this has been around a long time and the event is very important to some people and many have personal stories connected to it. What if we ask people to tell their stories and we could use those on social media to promote the event so that we would be telling people, like, from the personal perspective, what it actually is, what it means, and what it can do for people. And so they're thinking about it, but now I'm going to say, hey, guess what? Georgiana Schuster's interested in such stories as well.
Yeah.
So it's just, I'm not great with the social media. They have to tell me if this is manageable, how they could even start. But, you know, there's really a concern about getting the same level of sponsorship revenue as previous years, getting the diversity of exhibitors as previous years. But from my perspective, and Chris may have a different view, I see payments every day. It looks similar to prior years, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're behind. But I just, you know, I think we're kind of searching for more. We do need volunteer support, outsider support for this fashion show especially. Like, that's a big project that we don't have the manpower to pull off without volunteers. So that's one pain point. And the other pain point is, like, what are the new marketing strategies that we should really be using now? So I felt like what you just asked, Georgiana, I felt like that has potential. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Cool. To your question, Georgiana, Barb Reznor did share that she was tabling at a recent event, maybe Tolano Fun Day, and someone did say they came up and visited the table and said, oh my gosh, I came to your expo some time ago, and you know, I got your book, and I was able to then have my needs met, whatever those needs were. But because they had come to the expo, they got the book, they were then able to go home and reach out to whatever service they were in need of. So, yes, that is happening, but Lynn had the group. Yes, let's make it on a bigger scale and promote it that way.
Now, personally, I think that's a great idea because many people, including myself, really don't know what's available, all the resources that we have in this community. And so the Disability Expo is a little bit overwhelming for people when they walk in and they see all these tables and I don't know what I need. But having personal stories might help the whole process, I think. So maybe I'll reach out to the I forgot their last names, the people who are the planners, and suggest this to them, that this could be a way to get people interested. Yeah, okay.
I think they'll just really appreciate communicating with you about it because they're thinking about it all the time. So
I just want to add, I think on somewhere on social media for the community, I saw the Geese College of Business is offering or soliciting, asking for community projects that would help that their students could work on. So I know it was a marketing was one of the areas. So I'll look through my social media, see if I can find it and try and share it with forward it to you. Okay. Although you know students don't come back to August, so I don't know how. You know, but at least it would help, you know, for the future years.
No, yeah. It can help.
Yeah, okay.
Successes and other agency information. Do we have anyone who wants to speak up today? Oh, I see a couple of fingers going up, so go right ahead. Okay.
I forgot to greet everybody. Good morning. Good morning. I'll go first. PACE is having our ADA celebration on July 26th, I actually brought a flyer and stuff. So we have one of our consumer who is a classical pianist who offered her time and to host a concert for us and stuff. So it's on the 26th. We also have Ryan Croak, who is a first assistant deputy governor for the Health and Human Services, who's going to be our keynote speaker that day. So he's been an advocate for us for many years for Center for Independent Living. So I brought some flyers to share with everybody at the end of the meeting and stuff. If you guys could share it with everyone, because it'll be a wonderful event. Again, it is the celebration of the signing of the ADA too and stuff like that. So please share it with your network. And I'm going to introduce Jason to you guys.
Okay, so I'm Jason. I'm the Housing Modification Coordinator at PACE. We partnered with NSIL this year to modify homes for people with disabilities so they can stay in their homes versus having to go to institutions. If there's anyone in the community or that you may know or pass the word around that we have this program, we are allotted up to $25,000 per consumer to modify their home. So, I'm really anxious to get this going off the ground. We have a couple of projects going on right now, but the more the merrier. So if you could pass the word around about our home modification program, that would be great.
Can you give us some contact information?
So you would reach me at Jason at PACE.
Say that again.
Jason at pacecil.org. I have some flyers here that I can pass out to everybody in here so that you can get a better understanding about the program.
Great. When we got this program and stuff, it's the beginning. So there's more to it and stuff like that. This is just a slow rollout for us. But we were told by NSIL that there's this grant is going to be a lot of backing and stuff. So that's why we're pushing for it. When we heard about this program, the only thing that would disqualify someone besides eligibility of income is that they cannot be belong with DRS. Because they have their own home modification program in there. But other than that, we people with IDDD, they could qualify for it and stuff. Also, the one unique thing that I like about this program is that even though they're renting, if the landlord says that they could get modification and we get a letter from the landlord and stuff saying it's okay to proceed, they'll be eligible. So a lot of people might think it's just for homeowners. It's not. It's for someone who could be renting and the landlord says that and stuff. So again, Jason, he was sent to us. It's wonderful. We'll work with any consumers project by project uniquely with their needs and stuff like that. He'll do a home assessment with that consumer, walk through the whole building, and he puts in the project together. And they might think they just need this one, but Jason is there to go, let me walk through your home. We might find something else that we can put in the program. So that's why he's our home modification coordinator. So yeah, please share this wonderful program. Again, it's new for PACE, and we heard that it's just the start of it because there's some backing to it and stuff. So
thank you. That's wonderful news. Say that again.
For any disability.
It's any disability. But if they have a DRS, if they're receiving DRS funding, then they get disqualified because they have their own home modification program. So thank you.
I just have a really quick one. I just wanted to let you guys know that we had our very busiest day with our transportation program last Thursday. We gave 23 rides over the course of the day, which was very busy. And so part of the reason we were able to do that was because we, starting in July, were able to have a backup driver during the day. And so he was very much in use that day. So a lot of people got to places around town. So.
What day did you say that was?
Last Thursday. So last week really was very busy, but Thursday in particular was very, very busy.
Nothing's particularly special about that day.
No, we couldn't figure out if there was some sort of event or I don't know.
Yeah.
I think maybe people were just kind of getting back to things after like the holiday, but I don't know for sure.
Sorry about that. Doesn't look the same. When we help people find jobs, we base that job exploration on very individualized conditions for employment identified by that person. Sometimes those are pretty general and broad, which means we have a lot more opportunities to explore. And then other times, those conditions for employment are very specific, very narrow. Sometimes those are just based on preferences. So, for example, somebody living in Champaign who only wants to work with horses and does not have transportation, we're not going to have much success finding them a job. But over time, as that process goes along, then they kind of expand what their interests are. Sometimes those narrow conditions are just the conditions that really need to be in place for that person to be successful. 25 years ago, we helped a young man in that last category find a job. That, through the hard work of the job developer, all of the planets aligning just right, we found the perfect job, and he held that job for almost 25 years. And I don't remember if the company folded or if they just reduced their workforce pretty significantly, but he came back to us again wanting us to help him find a job. With the new condition that it had to be the same 9 hours per week, the same 3 hours per day. So I'm thinking it's been 5 months, but again, those conditions really were not negotiable at all. And I'm happy to say again, with the hard work of Liz, the job developer, and all of the planets aligning, he has now successfully been in his job for 3 weeks. So.
That is great. Yeah.
That does sound pretty dreamy, doesn't it?
3 hours a day, 3 days a week. Yeah.
I just meant more like you don't want to change your schedule after you've been working at it for 25 years. I can empathize with.
So I have, it's not a program that is funded by CCDDB, but a very exciting announcement that we've been waiting a very long time to say and hope that it's as chill-worthy for you as it is for me. The Dunbar, Silla, and Muhammad is open. So the first person moved in on June 11th, and by the end of June, all four residents have lived there or have moved in, and it's going very well. This was a, you know, staffing was part of the issue. There was some legislation that got changed in order to support type 1 diabetes for an individual. There was a mom who was an incredible advocate many years ago that was a parent of two of the children, they're adults. That passed away before it could come to fruition, but she did see the house. She helped pick out the home. The individuals chose each other that, you know, that was going to live there. And fortunately, all four are the residents that have moved in, three for the first time outside the family home. One individual said, "Oh my God, you've made my dream come true." After he'd been wanting, you know, he has for years been saying, when am I moving? And then the brother and sister that have moved in, it's a little bit more of a challenge to kind of get services in place. They've been in a different setting for a really long time. They adjusted to losing mom. Dad's been a single dad that he wasn't counting on for the last 7 years. But they're in their home community. They're in Muhammad. Dad is less than a mile away and kind of trying to balance that separation and attachment to make that work for them is going well. And then the fourth person is somebody that actually was forced to leave our community and go to a educational residential place in Kansas as a teen to go to school for many years and return to our community. It's been a little over 7 years ago and has been residing with her parents. And so this is her first time away from home as well. So we call June 30th the unofficial Thanksgiving because many years ago, I, being the eternal optimist that I am, said, "Oh, we'll have it open by Thanksgiving." So we decided that whatever day it opened is Thanksgiving. So I think June 30th will now be our unofficial Thanksgiving with turkey and all the fixings moving forward. So, but we're very excited to have that open. And the other good news that to share is that after several years of being kind of under a consultant model for nursing services for Scylla, we have been successful in hiring a nurse, which is something that is very challenging all across the state. And she is incredible, and the timing is perfect, especially with this home, to be able to have somebody that's actually an employee and on site every day rather than having to go through, you know, virtual and phone consultation for nursing services. So there's some really good things happening there that that we've been waiting a long time for. So thank you.
That is good news. Thank you. Anybody else? I guess we're done with that section, and we already, county board input, Leah's waving us away. Nope, nothing. Mental health board input, anything?
They're meeting tonight at 5:45. There's nothing really, I mean, it's really very much the same business. I did not present the Engage Illinois information to them because they've been on information overload for months. But I think some of them might be interested, so I have been forwarding information, like in emails, to you all and to them so that they can get involved with Engage Illinois, too. It seems like we're in that for the long haul, so yay. Yeah. Nothing else for them. I do have good news for the DD board, okay, which is that Dr. Robin is available July 31 at 9 o'clock, so we will absolutely have a – and, you know, there's always possible surprises, but we're doing our best. So thank you all for working through that with me. I'm greatly relieved.
Okay. Well, I think we're done. Board announcements. Pardon me?
You might have announcements.
No. I have no announcements. So we're done. Our board meeting is done for today. Thank you all for coming.
I really appreciate you all.
So the 31st.
Thank you,
huh?
Vicky. Oh, she's gone.
Sorry. Thank you for
recording stopped.
The home modification, yep.
And the flyer.
And the flyer.
I would like one too.